You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
GM, I'm Dan Roberts.
And I'm Jeff Roberts.
And this is
GM from Decrypt.
This podcast is a conversation, one each episode with the biggest names in crypto. And you're definitely going to want to hear what they have to say. But Jeff, what are we going to ask them about?
Well, Dan, I thought we could start with NFTs.
Oh, yeah, NFTs. I heard NFTs are DOA, or maybe they're just MIA.
Oh, yeah, and what about the battle between BTC and ETH?
Well, was that too many acronyms for one trailer? Don't worry. We'll talk through all this and more on our new show, GM from Decrypt.
You can find us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe now so you don't miss a single one.
GM.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
The season may be coming to an end, but the sun is beginning to shine. So how about a free case of 8 craft beers from Beer 52? Just go to www.beer52.com/spurs and just cover the postage of $5.95. Beer 52 is the world's largest beer club with over 175,000 active members. Each month, members are sent a case with a different theme. Comes with a magazine and a snack. And if you don't like dark beer, just choose the light option. You can pause or cancel at any time. Give it a go. Go to www.beer52.com/spurs and get your free case of beer on us. That's beer52.com/spurs.
Hello, welcome to part two of this very, very special Spurs show, looking back at the most successful season in Tottenham Hotspur's history. Joining me to help me, firstly, the football writer and journalist, Mr. Martin Lipton. Finally, a man who's written so many books. His new book about Jimmy Greaves is an absolute must-buy. He's absolutely here helping me, the memories of that season, the author, writer, journalist, Mr. Norman Giller. And finally, a man who, as we've already, if you listened to part one, I mean, key, absolutely key in this incredible season, despite playing with injuries, getting injuries, coming back, scoring goals, the Tottenham Hotspur legend that is Mr. Cliff Jones. The FA Cup, which we haven't talked about yet. This is it. January the 7th, FA Cup third round. We've got a clip here. Tottenham 3, Charlton 2. 2 from Les, 1 from Terry. Tight game. Blanche Flower, 3 great assists. Let's listen to some of the audio now.
Edwards, the former amateur
international, who's the Charters leading scorer, trying to find Laurie, but he finds Henry. Now across to Blanchflower, up to Allen, who's really playing well at the field with Smith. Smith moved offside, so it's up to Allen. He scored! And so after 5 minutes, the machine clicks into gear, and Les Allen puts Tottenham 1-0 in the lead.
Still Tottenham gained possession, and it's now White. John White, inside right to Smith. Smith back to Blanchard, moving up very quickly, and Allen there for goal number two. Of Tottenham football makes it 2-0. The scorer, Les Allen. This is almost slow motion football compared to the speed with which Tottenham moved. And as any Charlton player moves, then the cover man moves with him. So no one can get in an unmarked position at all. And Leary flicking it through to Summers, and Summers gets it across. A great chance for Edwards. Marvellous chance. He's missed it. Leary scored. 33 minutes and time for all the Charlton fans to cheer as Leary makes it 2-1. Now away come Charlton moving on to the attack, but the pass is still not getting through. They're always finding themselves challenged. Now it's Blanchflower with Leary, the deep-lying Charlton centre-forward, going back in defence, comes across to Dyson. He's not offside. He scored the goal! A lovely goal by Dyson! Who then gets stripped by Medwin. But 35 minutes have gone, and Dyson makes it 3-1.
Cliff, the FA Cup was obviously huge then, a huge thing. Obviously, we talk about winning the championship, first time Tottenham won the championship in 10 years. But the FA Cup, we talk about the present team, we were saying off air about it being 30 years. The present team, your team, the club, hadn't won the FA Cup then for 40 years. The year ends in 1921. Was that a big sort of thing on top of the players' back, the fans going, "We're going to bring a cup home," or was it just, were these games just like other games to you as a professional?
No, personally, for myself, no. I just took each game as it comes. I never thought about winning FA Cups or league championship. I just...
You've got to remember, he's a Welshman. for every young Englishman, the FA Cup was the one to win. Mm.
And one of my great memories in football was second international.
Right.
And it was against England at Ninian Park. There was 65,000 at Ninian Park. We beat them 2-1, and I got the winning goal down the Canton Road end. Unbelievable. Yeah. They came on the pitch. I was up on their shoulders, everything. It was the most memorable, brilliant moment of my life, scoring the winning goal against England with the likes of Billy Wright and Tommy Lawton and all them great...
You're knocking a country that then gave you a career.
What was it Jimmy Greaves used to say to you? You've only got to keep the ball up four times to get a cap for Wales.
Oh, yeah, Greaves, yes.
Jimmy gave him a terrible stick.
Typical Jim.
January the 16th, our second defeat in 26 games. United, Man United 2, Tottenham 0. Bizarre game because the United keeper got injured in the second half and played up front.
Harry Gregg
got injured. Dawson went in goal. You were out. Terry Medwin was out. Peter Baker was out. Jay Smith and Barton played. Now, doing my research and being too young, I don't know who Jay Smith and Barton were.
John Smith was at West Ham.
Right.
And he was the West Ham's best player at the time, and we couldn't believe it when he signed for Spurs.
Right.
But he never quite cracked it, I suppose.
Right.
But I think he played once or twice in that double year.
And Barton?
Yeah.
Barton was
North Walian.
Yeah,
he used to speak Welsh. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he never understand him.
There you are. Then we played the Woolwich again.
Yeah, can we just mention that Man United match? An 18-year-old kid who we have bruised on your memory, Cliff, was making his debut, Nobby Styles.
Oh, really? Made his debut in that game?
Yeah.
Well, there you are.
It's all right, all right with Nobby. Yes, he's a good lad.
Oh, yeah, lovely. He's not had his teeth in.
Dirty little
he
son.
He was indeed. Oh, dear.
He'd kick his granny. He'd kick his granny, wouldn't he?
And then we played the Arsenal at the Lane, January the 21st. Tottenham 4, Arsenal 2. Yay! We went a goal down. Goals from Blanche Flowers-Smith, Les Allen again, two. Let's listen to our first two goals now.
Henry to White. White punching it through for Allen. And Allen's equalised, a beautiful goal. Just over 10 minutes gone, and Allen equalises, one goal each. Was one out of the blue. There didn't seem a great deal of danger about that one, but that's why Spurs are top of the league. They can turn half chances into goals. Allen did that time, and so these two great London rivals are all squared up again now. One goal each. Spurs beginning to grind Arsenal down, get on top. Here's Dyson again. And is that a penalty? Yes! There was no doubt about that one. A very, very silly trip by the right halfback, Neil. So it's Blanchflower to take the penalty for Tottenham with 22 minutes gone. So this should be 2-1 for Spurs. Blanchflower with a penalty, and it is 2-1. And Spurs obviously have read the editorial of the FA News about no kissing and cuddling, just a handshake and a pat on the back as they go into a 2-1 lead.
And now back to the Cup, January 28th, FA Cup fourth round. You are back now, you're back after the injury. Spurs 5, Crewe 1, goals for Mackay, Cliff here, Smith, Allen and Dyson. And then February the 4th, another defeat, our first home defeat. Again, we talk about these games, even now we throw away, you don't see it. February the 4th, Tottenham 2, Leicester 3. Yeah. We were 2-1 down, Danny got a penalty, and then Morris Norman made an error for Leicester to score. I mean, do either of you remember that one at all?
I remember it because we spotlighted it later on because it was the FA Cup final. So Bill Nicholson kept on saying, don't be complacent. Remember what they did to us at White Hart Lane in the league. Yeah.
And so yes, of course.
Important match.
Yeah. So maybe in the great scheme of things, probably if you're going to have a defeat, a good one, because it galvanised things in the final.
Yeah, it put them on their toes. And if you remember that Leicester match, do you?
Leicester match, yes. Vaguely, yeah. Somewhere in... We're talking about Morris Norman.
Yes, there was quite a big error for him in that game.
Well, Morris was about 6'3", 14 stone, bigger, but you couldn't say nothing to him. If he said, Morris, for fuck's sake, will you do something? He didn't like it. So Bill had to be very careful how he handled Morris.
Really?
He could have a go at me and I'd react to it. Mm. But with Morris, he couldn't say anything. If he did, he'd get all very sort of, he'd go into a shell sort of thing.
Wasn't he from Cornwall?
No, he was a Norfolk boy.
Oh, Norfolk.
Have you got a Lloyd boy? I mean, he really was a Norfolk boy.
Oh, he was a big old lad, but you had to be careful what he said to him. Yeah. Very sensitive.
Yeah.
Ah, poor thing. I've never heard of a sensitive centre-half either. Morris is very sensitive. You have to be careful how you handle him.
Sadly, he's suffering badly from Alzheimer's.
Yes, that's right.
He's
not very well at the moment, we believe.
He's not, no, bless him.
No. Anyway, we bounced back with a win. February 11th, Villa 1, Spurs 2. Blanchflower was supreme, apparently.
Well, that was Danny's old club, remember.
That's his old club.
Yeah.
Had a really, really good game. And then again, you talk about key games in this season. Again, we've got some audio here. The FA Cup fifth round at Villa Park. I mean, the footage of this, go check this out. It's nuts there. Aston Villa nil, Tottenham 2, 69,000 there. Mackay sublime. Let's have a listen to this now.
And it's a goal, yes, a goal scored by Donnelly. The ball hit it straight out of goalkeeper McClellan's hands. Another. But Aston back into the game. White. Getting the ball back from Jones there. Jones now, White onto Allen. Allen with it on the edge of the box. He'll hide back across the goal. And it's an own goal! An own goal by either Dugbo or Neil. And Jones, the man that shot the ball. So after 18 minutes played, Spurs have go ahead by 1-0. Although Spurs, Jones shot the ball for Spurs. It was either Neil or Dugbo that deflected it away from sideline. They do say that if your luck's on your side, it's on your side, because three times then balls were played. And it's to Jones. Jones trying a shot, and a wonderful goal by Jones. A tremendous goal there by Jones, a right-footed shot. And even side bottom, you can see side bottom probably in the goal mouth applauding that magnificent shot by Jones to put Spurs 2-0 in the lead with just 5 minutes left to play in the first half.
Lovely stuff here from the press. Mackay was meant to be imperious. And this was Ian Waldridge. You remember Ian Waldridge? Mm. And he wrote here about Mackay. Again and again, the moves stem from Mackay. Around him, White, Jones, Allen, Dyson, Blanchflower and Norman move like obedient satellites of an all-powerful planet. And a five-pass move ended with you, chest-high shot, deflected in by Neil. Second goal, Dyson into White, Smith, Allen advances. You ran on, a brilliant, unstoppable finish. And you stood with your hands stretched high to the heaven. And final word again by the press in this game, Mackay. Someone wrote, he was like a giant, gigantic amalgamism of Markova and Marciano. He performed miracles of delicate ball control and tackled like a battering ram.
That sounds like Desmond Hackett to me.
You know, incredible to go there. 69,000 fans, Villa, huge game. Fifth round. We always loved a fifth round of the cup. I mean, the only other one I remember, we lost 2-0. Do you remember, was it 85, we played Everton?
Yeah.
At Goodison. We were great that game. We lost that one. That was another huge fifth round game. Do you remember that one at all, the fifth round Villa Park? No. Fair enough. Okay. You played a few games. Okay. It was 60. I don't know. I had for breakfast this morning. I can't believe you remember any of this stuff. You know,
Cliff.
When I speak about the team I played in, there were like three people. The main man was Bill Nicholson. Mm. He ran the football club from the boot room to the boardroom, as I said before. Every aspect of the football club he was involved with, and you didn't mess with him.
Yeah.
But then when we went onto the field to play with three players, Danny Blanchflower, Dave Mackay and John White, they were on midfield, and if they played well, we all kicked off them. It's as simple as that. We kept it nice and simple, and then you could then look through the spine of the team, Bill Brown, Maurice Norman and Bobby Smith. Terrific centre forward, pain in the arse, mind.
Mm.
Absolutely. Didn't like to have a few quid on acne, good on the dogs at Walthamstow. Always having a bet and always having a gamble, but what a centre forward he was.
Mm. We then had going into
this stage in the season.
Yeah.
When Bill Nicholson put a ban on anybody's mentioning the word double.
Oh, really?
He was sick to death of it.
Really?
And he said, Danny, will you please stop talking about the double? It's putting too much pressure on the lads.
We then drew February 22nd, Tottenham 1, Wolves 1. Bit lucky, but we got Danny made an error in this game and they equalised. Then we went to Man City, who'd obviously got the draw. City 0, Spurs 1, Terry Medwin. scored torrential rain this game. You were out. You missed that game, and Morris Norman.
Again, there's a proper out. Welshman.
Yeah.
Who was? Terry. He's a Swansea boy, same as me. What are you talking about?
And then again, this is incredible footage out there. Sixth round of the FA Cup, Roker Park, March the 4th. Sunderland won, Tottenham won. You scored, you equalised with a header. There was a pitch invasion. The game was delayed. I think you had to come off.
That's right.
And yeah. We can listen. I think it's Pate News we got here. You can listen to that audio now.
Corner there. Jones, and it's in the corner of the net. That's the first goal. The Spurs, after exactly 9 minutes play, it's Jones there, outside right, to put them 1-0 in the lead. Nearly 4 minutes gone before this corner is taken. Hooper taking it, Hurley has gone up there, he's running in very quickly, and it's a great save by Bryan, it's in the net! I don't know who scored it, there was two players there, and the children coming, flooding onto the pitch. I think we better credit that to Fogarty.
Sunderland set the game going at Tottenham, facing the white-shirted Spurs in the six-round replay. Which of these great sides would meet Burnley in the semi-final? 65,000 fans jammed White Hart Lane for the thrill of finding out. Wakeham tipped the ball round the side. That encouraged Spurs to try again. White shot hit the crossbar. Another escape for Sunderland. But there was no holding Tottenham. Jones passed to Allen. Goal for Spurs. Five minutes later, the immaculate John White sent Jones away. And that wandering right winger put in a hard shot, which Wakeham parried, only for the ball to go to centre forward Smith. He made no mistake. A minute from half-time, Spurs struck again. The mercurial Jones passed to Dyson, and the outside left got goal number three. Second half, three down, Sunderland was still full of fight, as any team has need to be at White Hart Lane. Brown was safe in Spurs' goal. Skipper Danny Blanchflower marshalled the Wonder Team perfectly, initiating another attack. Allen centre and a corner. It was Dyson who got goal number four. Sunderland tried their hardest to stay in the game. However, they were now only a shadow of the team that drew with Tottenham at Roker Park. They'd encountered Spurs at their best. And where is the team that could survive such a meeting? Jones was on the warpath again. He passed to left half Mackay. And there was another goal. Spurs won 5-0.
And then the replay again. 5-0.
Slaughtered them.
Absolutely slaughtered them.
Wasn't there talk that was sort of a defining moment that Danny and Bill said, come on, play, we're supposed to be the pass and move team, from go back to that team that had won the league in 51 under Arthur Rowe, and that's what we're going to do. It's push and run. Let's play push and run to transform the game, because Sunderland played really well in the first half.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then you played him in the league soon afterwards and battered them as well. They shot their bolt because you just outclassed them when it mattered.
I think they were Division 2 team, weren't they, this time, Sunderland, weren't they? I think they were a lower league team in Sunderland, I think in this particular season.
Yeah.
Massive game, so nearly a shot.
Too good for them.
You know. Anyway, we've got the audio there, the 5-0. And then back to Wales, March the 11th. I mean, again, we talk about over the years, you talk about the history of Tottenham Hotspur, as we do, and a lot of us here have been going to many games. And there's these inexplicable games, you're like losing to teams. You said Cardiff 3, Tottenham 2. Surprising defeat. We were twice ahead, and then we let in two goals in 5 minutes. Our first defeat at Cardiff in absolute years. What was that for you to take? Obviously, going back to Wells, being a Swansea boy and everything.
I was absolutely gutted that, because I'm a Swansea boy and Cardiff are big rivals,
absolutely.
And they got them. They beat us. I was absolutely gutted.
Yeah.
I think they're packing the game in. Cardiff beating us. Come on. Cardiff, as they say. They say Cardiff up in Cardiff. They don't say Cardiff. They go Cardiff. Yes. What do you mean Cardiff? It's Cardiff. Eight of them, Cardiff.
Oh, dear. And then the following week, the FA Cup semi-final at Villa Park, March the 18th. Again, incredible memories for those of you who remember this. Let's play the clip here. It finished, we talk about Burnley, great team. Tottenham 3, Burnley 0. Let's listen to this now.
No score. Mackay, Dyson, Allen, that little side flick. Oh, and Smith is here, and he scored. What a disaster for Blacklaw. Becker holding the ball. Bladsflower. Centre forward Smith. Allen. Nodded away by Angus. Oh, Becker! What a soft goal again! Here's the dying gasp of this game. 30 seconds left to play. Spurs, two goals in the lead and in possession of the ball. White. The Spurs fans are already standing up, cheering their heads off as though they were already at Wembley. Into Jones. This is the closing second, and it's a goal!
This was the game. Windy match, light ball, rock hard pitch. Morris Norman had just been called up for his first England cap. Two great finishes from Bobby Smith. There was an error from Jimmy Adamson. Brown made save after save. Do you remember that? Do you remember the semi-final that year?
Not really. No.
No, fair enough. Norman, do you remember this?
I remember. They beat a superb Burnley team, and. But Burnley at the time had their skipper, Jimmy Adamson.
Yeah. Who went on to become a big manager, didn't he, Adamson? Was
he would have been. He was the first choice for the England job when Alf Ramsey took it. And Jimmy Adamson turned it down. so it would have been Sir Jimmy. But Jimmy said after that match, he said, this is one of the best team performances I've ever witnessed. And it was then that he was talking about Spurs winning the double.
Yeah.
And that's the first time you heard people outside Spurs actually saying that Tottenham would win the double.
Because we had, again, obviously the present team, the wretched record in the semi-finals. Don't forget, at this stage, we also had a terrible record in semi-finals. Before your time at Tottenham, how many did we lose in the 50s? There was Blackpool, United.
48. And there's the 53 when there wouldn't have been a Matthews final, but for Alf Ramsey.
Then we lost one to United as well.
Alf Ramsey
gave
a bad back pass that allowed Blackpool to, Ernie Taylor, collected his back pass and scored, and that put them into the final.
Yeah,
the famous. But there wouldn't have been a Matthews final without Alf Ramsey giving this bad back pass.
Yeah. So we had a wretched record going into this semi-final. Yeah. As I said, 40 years since we'd been to the FA Cup final. And then in typical Tottenham style, we go back to the league. Tottenham 1, Newcastle 2. Newcastle 3rd from bottom. Danny missed the penalty. Their new keeper Hollins had a blinder. And you read all the reports here. John White went to hospital with a suspected broken ankle, was back for the next game. Honestly, you read all these reports. It's like, the ankle's gone.
In those days, we used to say they'd get a car. And what do you mean you had to get a car as a bonus? They were given a cortisone injection.
Yeah.
And they called that a car, a cortisone. How many cortisone injections did you
have? I was a few, yeah.
Yeah. What did it do to you? Did it just like numb things?
No, they numbed it.
Completely numb it.
I mean, and that's why so many old players, I mean, Bobby Smith was a wreck, wouldn't he? He had so many.
It was utterly outrageous.
Oh,
it was
disgraceful.
Complete absence of care at all. And you were used as basically all those players, all the way through till, let's be honest.
They were guinea pigs.
It was appalling. And they were treated as just disposable.
Dartboards.
It was awful.
Did you have any gems?
Most probably that's why he's suffering from dementia now then, is it?
Then March 25th, Fulham 0, Tottenham 0. Not much to say about this game. We weren't very, very good. March 31st, we'll obviously talk about later about Jimmy Greaves. Tottenham 4, Chelsea 2. Cliff, you scored 2 that day. Saul and Allen, Tony Markey kept Greaves quiet all game. I know we played, obviously Jimmy scored against Tottenham on his debut for Chelsea. This is the season before.
You also scored at the Bridge against.
Yes, that's right.
And Jimmy loved that double side.
Yeah.
He thought it was the best
Clearly team. Wanted to go the there,
best,
didn't he?
The best team he ever played against.
Yeah.
And that included internationals. You know, he thought of magnificent. I mean, it's the main reason he joined Spurs.
Yeah. And then April the 1st, your hat trick that season. Do you remember who Hatcher was against that season? Do you remember Hatcher? You scored 3.
I would love it to be the Arsenal, but of course it wasn't.
It wasn't. That was Terry
Dyson scored.
Terry had the only hatcher against Arsenal still. It was against Preston, 5-0 win, and we can now listen to your...
Was that up at Deepdale?
No, it's at the Lane. We can now listen to your first and third goal now.
Allen. Blanchard now is in front of Allen. He might have walked offside, and Allen just beckoning. Blanchard to come back. So got to get to Saul. And Saul meant to tee that up for Allen, but it's gone now to White. And Spurs just probing, trying to find the way through. It's Jones. He's not offside. A beautiful move by Jones. And goal number 2. A magnificent goal. Medwin. Medwin in the team, of course, because Dyson is unfit. Had his ankle yesterday. And the ball out to White. White, an immaculate footballer, beautiful player. And Saul, goal number 3. Twenty-six minutes gone. Goal number 3 scored by young Frank Saul, centre forward. Well, there'll be hardly time to take this free kick, from which, of course, a goal cannot be scored direct. And it's Blanchard chipping it forward. Jones, and it's a goal. The referee has given it. And it's now 46 minutes exactly that we've been playing. It's Jones now for Spurs. Jones to Blanchard and Allen. Allen spending a lot of time over on that right wing. I think that one, and Jones, it's Cunningham. Jones, a great goal. Oh, that's the way to put him in the net. 16 minutes of the second half gone. 5-0 now, Spurs leading, and 3 of them coming from Cliff Jones.
Honestly, this, you can see this footage. Frank scored with a great header. This gave us a 4-point lead at the top. This is obviously 2 points for a win. So now there was a bit of a cushion now. 4-point lead. Your third was an overhead kick. 7-8 yards out.
No specialities.
There we are. There we are. You can thank God this footage still. Go and check it out after listening to this show. Cliff's hat trick. And then we go into April the 3rd, Chelsea 2, Spurs 3. This was a really, really big win. The reporter here, it was Morris Norman got the winner. And the match report here, a wave of the hand from Spurs skipper Blanche Flower set centre-half Norman off on a 40 pounding strides at Stamford Bridge, overcame Dave McKay's free kick, a guts and glory header from Norman, and Spurs were in sight of the title at last. We came from behind to win this one. We were 1-1, 2-1 down. Greaves scored, and it was ruled off for offside. He was booked for arguing. He then subsequently scored. Medwin headed home, but Norman got the winner. I don't know if you recollections of that game.
Well, the goal that Jimmy scored, not the offside one,
the goal.
It was one of those where he ran from the halfway line,
yeah.
Which he continually did for Chelsea.
Mm.
I know Spurs players hate me saying this, but he was a better player for Chelsea. That was his peak.
A lot of people say that he saw him at both clubs.
He played with the confidence of youth, you know, and had no fear.
Mm.
But the time he reached Spurs, he'd had the Italian experience, where you had people kicking him up in the air. And
yeah. So. You talk about now sort of these were the key moments now. April the 8th, Birmingham 2, Tottenham 3, White, Smith and Allen scored. 3 up in 30 minutes. We can listen to that now.
To White, and it's... there's the first one! And Smith, the England centre-forward it is, in just 1.5 minutes exactly, the Spurs go 1-0 in the lead.
High turning it brilliantly down there for White. And White hesitating the right split second, but Les Allen will not be able to get up on it. It's Trevor Smith's bad clearance, and it goes to Mackay. Hard into the centre, there's Jones losing it, and there is Smith. And Mr. Tyback has overruled the linesman. I thought the linesman flagged for offside, but Mr. Tyback was quite right, because Smith never moved until... Mackay hard into Bobby Smith there. Trevor Smith close behind him, but Dyson... not able to get his foot as high as George Allen's head, and it comes clear to Norman, who drops it across to Baker. Baker trying to side-foot it through. And it's a bad mistake there by Bloomfield. White onto it, and there's the third one. And it was Bloomfield, yes, that took it right off of the foot of Neil as he came in on it. That's the third one. The Spurs with just 33 minutes gone in the first half. It's White that puts Spurs 3-0 in the lead.
And then the big, big game. And again, I don't know if you've known this, no footage of this, which is, you talked about it, BBC being at certain games. This was the game, April the 15th, at the Lane. Tottenham 2, Sheffield Wednesday 1, crowning us champions. Cool. In Tottenham...
And no shots of it.
No shots of this at all. Criminal. In typical Tottenham style, we went a goal down. Dom Megson scored. People say from this era, one of the toughest, brutal games. You had stitches in your knee. Yeah. Mackay was booked. We then scored 2 goals in 50 seconds. Crowd went mad. Then Baker made a brilliant clearance. An incredible game. The goal... whose goal was this? I think it was Smith's goal. I think he lobbed Swan. Smith lobbed Swan... went over his head, ran on to volley in. Minute later, free kick. Norman headed it down. Allen to the roof of the net. 5,000 fans on the pitch. 57,000 there chanting, "We want Danny, we want Danny," after the game. What was your memories? This is it. You talk about winning it at the Lane.
Well, as it says there, it was just an amazing sort of scene with the crowd coming on. And And it was just sheer enthusiasm from the crowd. And you know, Bindig has always said to us that the fans, they are the most important people. Mm. And that night, sort of, they certainly were. And it was just a special moment. And
you all lined up in this in the main stand, didn't you? The whole lot of you. Mm. The entire squad, not just the team that won it. And that was the first time that Bill Nicholson actually believed that they could get the double.
Oh, really?
I mean, he wouldn't relax until they...
What is quite strange, of course, is that the two titles the Spurs have won have both been won home games against Sheffield Wednesday.
Sheffield Wednesday,
yeah.
Because 51 was also a win against Wednesday to win the league.
But Bill really feared Sheffield Wednesday. Hmm. And Harry Catterick, he really admired Harry, and they were mutual admirers. And just the fact that they won that night, Bill Nicholson actually never said it publicly, but quietly thought we could get the double.
I mean, what's funny here, the key now for Bill Nick in the league, he wanted to beat Arsenal's points record now, 66 points from 1931. What did we do the next game? Burnley 4, Tottenham 2. When we qualified, was it Harry Redknapp? When we qualified for the Champions League, and then we went to Burnley and we lost. Same score, wasn't it, I think, from memory. Was there a lot of celebrations? Were the players going out a lot after lifting it? Was there a lot of going down the pub a bit more than normal after you knew you were title winners? Is that maybe what happened in the league at this stage? Or were you sort of professional and you kept going?
I can't know. To be honest, the pub doesn't come into it, really. It's just about what you did on the training ground and on the match. Afterwards in the pub, it's a known fact that win or lose on the booze applied. Mm. But sort of that didn't control us.
Right.
It was the football that controlled us. And, And to be honest, I can't remember all that great deal. I mean,
no, I mean, you know,
the fact that I'm early stages of dementia does help that I can't sit.
You know, as I said, it's a long time ago. We then lost the game away to West Brom 2-1. Before that, we beat Forest 1-0 and this equaled Arsenal's record of 66 points. Last game of the season, we lost. But in fairness, we had the FA Cup to think about. And let's go to a very short break. When we come back, we're going to discuss the game that made Tottenham Hotspur win the double and become the first club that century to lift the double. Back in 2 minutes.
Hey there, listener. Do you have something to say? Then you're already a podcaster. You just don't know it yet. Whether you love to shoot the breeze with friends, have an urge to share your passions with the world, or even want to grow your business, you've got something worth saying with a podcast. With Acast, it couldn't be easier to start your own show. Launch, grow, and make money from your podcast across all listening platforms. If you have something to say, you're a podcaster. Head over to acast.com to get started for free.
We're back from the break. Just before we carry on, don't forget bits of business. Premium content, go to daily, including a daily news show. Go to patreon.com/spursshow. Our next event with ex-players, May the 11th, JW3 Community Centre and Martin Chivers, Pat Jennings, Alan Mulley and Steve Pearman, looking back at the 50th anniversary of our UEFA Cup 1972 win. Go to jw3.org.uk for tickets. If you're overseas or not in London, there are live streaming tickets as well. And this recording of the podcast only available to Patreon subscribers. Right, so May the 6th, FA Cup final. This now, obviously, in beautiful Technicolor out there. We've got the audio. Let's listen, before we talk about the game, let's listen to the audio as Tottenham win the double.
If there was little difference in the colours of the favours, there was a vast difference in the feelings of those who bought them. Both teams, of course, were splendidly supported at this historic cup final. As you see, all sorts went to Wembley. These are just a few that went to make up a crowd of over 100,000 spectators. Rather chilly for the month of May, but that didn't worry this lot. Excitement mounted as the teams came out. Leicester City wearing tracksuits. This year, the Duchess of Kent made it a royal occasion. Jimmy Walsh presented the City team. Footballer of the Year, Danny Blanchflower, presented the league champions all out for that double. The toss-up. Danny spins the coin and Jimmy calls wrong. All set. Blue-shirted Leicester kicked off and the match of the season was on. It opened with typical cup final football and Spurs were obviously intent on scoring an early one. Leicester, in no way daunted by Spurs' great reputation, were just as eager to draw first blood. They too missed some early chances. Injuries are inevitable. Peter Baker, Spurs' right back, was one, but not serious. Then the Wembley hoodoo struck once more. Len Chalmers badly hurt, and Leicester fated to be virtually one man short for the match. Spurs launched a strong movement soon after this. Cliff Jones had it in the net, but it was disallowed for offside. Half-time and still no score when Spurs kicked off. Leicester were still giving Spurs plenty to think about, in spite of having to carry Chalmers as a passenger. A few minutes later, the situation was reversed. Now Spurs looked very dangerous. We slow them down to see how Jimmy Dyson missed a wonderful chance. Soon afterwards, Spurs got their first, a brilliant effort by Bobby Smith. Spurs one up, and nothing was going to stop them now. A quarter of an hour before time, Smith centered, and Dyson made no mistake this time. Slow motion reveals just how Gordon Banks tried to save that one. It was all over bar the shouting and the presentation of the cup. Tottenham Hotspur, led by Danny, went up to receive trophy and medals from Her Royal Highness. They had done something no team had done this century. They'd won the League Championship and the FA Challenge Cup. Victory was very sweet for Danny and his merry men.
Your memories, I mean, for you personally, you had a perfectly good goal ruled out in that game, didn't you?
Never offside.
Never offside.
Never offside. No. But I'm just, really, it could have been over there because it was played back to me. Yeah. So I've come in on the far post and I've just knocked it with my right foot. Thought, that's it, scored at Wembley. Can't have anything better than that, scoring at Wembley in the FA Cup final.
Yeah.
Just a dreamer, that one as a kid.
Yeah.
And then I've done it, and of course, the referee's gone offside.
Unbelievable. But you never get over that, do you? Do you ever get over that? Having a goal ruled off for the FA Cup final?
Slowly but surely, I'm getting over it, yeah. It still haunts me. Still think of it. I still have a few, like,
I can imagine.
In the middle of them, I said, never offside. But talking about never getting over it, Bill Nicholson never got over the fact that Spurs didn't play well. It was one of their worst performances of the season.
Yes, the pressure. Bill, to be the first team of the century to win the double, you're going to have pressure.
Well, what happened, Len Chalmers, the Leicester defender, got injured. And like often happens when you're playing against 10 men, and don't forget, Len stayed on the pitch as a limping passenger, making a nuisance of himself. And the fact that they were down to virtually 10 men threw the Spurs out. You know, suddenly Spurs would look what's Len Chalmers up playing centre forward for? You know, and it completely threw your plans, didn't it?
Because sometimes 10 men are more difficult to beat than 11 men.
Yeah.
Instinctively, they all go defensively, so that makes it far more difficult to get behind the defence.
The thing about your Spurs team was that they were all about rhythm, and they lost their rhythm that day, didn't they?
Lost something, yeah.
Well, even still, you say lose rhythm. We saw 2 goals in 8 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Smith, great turn of shot. Then obviously Terry, sadly, can't be with us tonight.
You won't find a Spurs supporter who's unhappy.
Yeah.
It's just Bill Nicholson.
It's just Bill Nick. That's right.
Bill was a perfectionist.
But he, you know, obviously there was this one, and, you know, and then famously 72 Wolves UEFA Cup final.
Yeah.
Where was he when he won? He was in the Wolves dressing room saying you guys should have won.
Yeah.
He had a history of doing this, didn't he?
Yeah. Which pleased Alan Mallory.
Look, let's a few. I know some of you out there like stats. Here's a few stats from that season. Bobby Smith finished that season with 33 goals. Les Allen with 27, despite you missing, what, 10, 12 games in the league?
Yeah.
You saw 19 goals that season. Terry Dyson, who sadly couldn't be with us tonight, 17. The late, great John White, 13. We finished in the league, played 42. I'm sure there's probably some Spurs fans with this tattooed on them. Played 42, won 31, drawn 4, lost 7, goals 4, 115, goals against 55, 66 points. What was incredible again this season, I mentioned earlier, Morris Norman was the only new player to get a cap. Peter Baker, Ron Henry, Dyson, Smith, Allen, none of them got picked for England that season. And you read about Mackay and John White, the Scottish, the SFA, they didn't like the Scottish playing in England.
They were taking
you wouldn't get to play. Smith didn't play, White didn't play for Scotland that season.
They were taking the English shilling. You mustn't do that.
Yeah.
Not
it's just
Scottish.
Incredible, wasn't it? Didn't play that season. It's start winning the double.
I mean, can you imagine that now?
Yeah.
I think Dave got 22 caps. I mean, he should have got 100 caps.
I know. It's incredible. But he played in England. We won the title also with only 17 players, which is incredible. 16 away wins in 21 games. Most league goals in the history of the club, I believe, 115 goals. Danny Blanchflower was obviously, you mentioned him many, many times, and won it, so yeah. Footballer of the Year, won it twice. And to finish off, you at home, we've got some wonderful Pate News audio of when Tottenham, the players, came back to White Hart Lane bringing the cup home. Let's listen to this now.
They reckon that fully 100,000 people turned out to welcome triumphant Tottenham Hotspur back home with the FA Cup. That's enough for any other team. But Danny Blanchflower's Super Spurs brought back the League Championship Cup as well. The Wonder Boys of White Hart Lane are or are not the team of the century can't possibly be more than a matter of opinion. But it's results that count. And the plain fact is that Spurs and nobody else this century have achieved the double. The mayor and mayoress of Tottenham were at the town hall to do the honours on behalf of a borough bursting with pride. Danny held the cup, the mayor the other one.
I always thought there was very, very many people interested in football, and I always thought that football was a very important game, but I never realised until today just how important it is. And I am very pleased that we have won the double this year, very pleased because we've pleased you. And like the mayor, I'm very happy it happened in my reign of office.
Now a word from Bobby Smith.
I don't know what to say, really, but honestly, this is a great thrill of my life. And I'm glad I left Chelsea to come to Tottenham to get the double.
Cliff, I mean, you know, you had an illustrious career going on for Tottenham, winning many other trophies. But when you look back at your time at Tottenham, obviously this has got to be the season which, you know, obviously Tottenham still haven't won the title that long. How proud does that make you feel that all these years, 60 years on, people like us are coming down and still want to talk about this?
Well, it's obviously absolutely special. And also very special the fact that we were the first team to do it. And that sort of counts a great deal, becoming the first team of whatever it is to do certain, win something. And we were the first team to do the double. And then also the following season, the first British team to win a European competition. So we were the first. And it's always great to be a part of being the first to do something. And
Would you agree, Cliff, that once Jimmy joined you, you were even better?
Well, of course you couldn't knock that, could you? But then again, when you say we've done the double, Jim wasn't in the double team, was he?
No.
So, and you can't do more than winning the double. But and you've got to feel at this time when Bill Nick and did sign Jim, you had to feel sorry for Les Allen, because Les, he'd sort of been a big part of it. But then again, you can't argue about it, really, I suppose, because Jimmy Greaves is the greatest goalscorer there's ever been, and a great lad, and I thought a great player.
Well, we'll talk about Jimmy in more detail.
Norm was lucky. He saw these boys play. I wasn't. But as a kid, my father was always telling, he was 15 when they won the double, and I grew up being told about that team. And every Spurs team will always be in the shadow of that manager and those players. And for me, even as an old man now at 55, the chance to sit next to one of the greatest players in the history of Tottenham Hotspur Football Club is a genuine pleasure and a privilege. And we all should recognise that.
I think there's no better way of ending this recording. Ladies and gentlemen, please show your appreciation, Mr. Cliff Jones. If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.com.
spurs.co.uk.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
UK
Sports Social Podcast Network.